This morning, with the early morning service, that, you know, I was studying in Amos in 8:11, that the Lord spoke about through the prophet Amos about a famine of the word. And the Lord was speaking to my heart, and what he was speaking to my heart about is, in the day that we're living in, there's many men and women that are standing up speaking the word of God, but there's very few keeping it. And so he's just been speaking to my heart. So go, you know, in 2 Corinthians 5:7. I thought this was interesting because in this modern day of technology, I get texts all the time. And when I get a text, people are always putting a happy face behind their text. And when I saw 2 Corinthians 5:7, where it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight," it's followed by a happy face. In other words, there was a colon, and it's in parentheses in your Bibles. Look there in 2 Corinthians 5:7. I know in the King James Version, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Happy face. You got a happy face in the back of yours? In the King James Version, I've got a happy face. So when I was looking at that, that kind of just stirred up my heart and got me excited about, what does it look like to walk by faith and not by sight? What does that look like? So we're going to take a little venture through the word today. Is everybody with me? Since you're on 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And there's 18 verses there. And just for the sake of edification to the body, I'm just going to read all 18 verses if it would be okay. The Bible says in verse number 1 in 2 Corinthians 4, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." For this morning's message, I want to focus your attention on verse number 15 that says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound or superabound to the glory of God." The title of this morning's message is "To Detect What We Reflect." And I want to build this message off of Hebrews 11:1. That says, now faith, not how faith, now faith. Now faith is the substance or the confidence in things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So So we're going to be talking about now faith. God's talking about faith for now. Now faith, what does now faith reflect? Now faith reflects his glory. Now faith reflects his goodness. And now faith reflects his grace. That's the three things I would like to share with you today. His glory, his goodness, and his grace. Are you with me? Amen. Can we lift our word together and make a declaration today in the house of God? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. I am listening. My ears are open. My heart is receptive for the preaching and teaching of your word. Amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to the house to do. Father, I pray, Father God, that you speak through me today, Father God. May the words that go forth come forth with clarity and understanding. May the body be lifted up. May they be comforted. May they be encouraged by the preaching and teaching of your word. When all is said and done, you'll receive all the glory and honor. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. So we're walking by faith, but we're not walking by sight. Amen. So first thing the Lord spoke to my heart about is reflection. And I'm seeing a reflection. I remember as a young boy, I had a buzz bike. Anybody remember what a buzz bike was? You remember a buzz bike? You know, all the kids in the neighborhood, we come from a poor family. My dad had, and we had a lot of children in our family. We didn't have a lot of things. And most of the things we got as children were hand-me-downs or used, or we got somebody's broken bike, not a new bike. And all the friends in the neighborhood, they all had buzz bikes. And I got one from there was a pastor that I was named after in Atlanta, Georgia. His name was Carl Worcester. And my dad was holding a revival when I was born in Atlanta, Georgia. It was in the middle of a revival. And I was named after the pastor of that church. That's where I got the name Carl. And he brought me this bike, a buzz bike. And this bike was completely chrome. It was all chrome. It had springs on the front wheel and springs on the seat. It was the best buzz bike in the entire neighborhood. Amen. That thing was shiny. In other words, when I went riding down the road, everybody knew it was me because my bike was shining, okay? And that's what the Lord was speaking to me about his glory. Amen. We're to be a reflection of the glory of God. Amen. According to God's word. According to God's word. Not according to Carl, but according to the word of God. So let's look first and reflect in his goodness. I'm going to start with Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. We're talking about now faith reflects his glory. He says in Hebrews 11, 6, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the Lord was speaking to me about diligently seeking the Lord and the reflection of his glory. We seek the Lord in prayer, right? Jesus, God's word says in Jeremiah, if you call unto me in Jeremiah 33:3, I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things that you didn't know. We diligently seek him through the word, through the word. The psalmist says, I hid thy word in my heart so I wouldn't sin. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we're seeking him. But one of the main ways that we seek the Lord is through our worship. Through our worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So as we're gathered together in this atmosphere, we're gathered together in the atmosphere. I'm seeking God's glory to fill the house. Things will change in the midst of God's glory. Things will transform in the midst of God's glory. Why do you think the adversary doesn't want us to glorify and to worship God? Why do you think he constantly wants to get our attention somewhere else versus towards God? Well, I just don't feel like it today. You don't understand. I'm tired. Well, you better understand this. Maybe if you started worshiping God, maybe he would strengthen your body, mind, soul, and spirit. The Bible says they that wait upon the Lord, that he will renew their strength. Amen. So as I'm coming in, it's not a matter of I feel like it. It's a matter of I'm offering up worship and praise to God. And you know, the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13, the word of God says this. And it came even to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you something. Things are going to change in the midst of his glory. Things are going to change in the presence of God. Well, Pastor, why do you want to keep preaching and teaching this? Because we're going to get to that place. God's glory is going to fill the house. Amen. And all he's trying to get us to do is to join in with them, to welcome, to invoke it. You know, you'll never get what you're not expecting to get. Amen. Amen. So when I come together, I'm expecting God to do something he hasn't done before. I don't know about you. I'm looking for something new. His mercies are new every morning. Amen. Amen. I can't live off of the old stuff. I need something new. I need to be renewed day by day. I need to be transformed day by day. That's why the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to read this too, just for edification of the body. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6, if you're there. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doeth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil was done away in Christ. But even as unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? In other words, we're being, now faith reflects the glory of God. You get it? The Old Testament didn't have the answer. The Old Testament was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you. When I first gave my heart to the Lord and I started reading the Old Testament, I didn't understand hardly anything. But the Lord told me, go ahead and read it. First thing he gave me instructions to do is read Genesis through Revelation. So I read through the whole Bible. And boy, I was all messed up. Then he says, now I want to show you some things. So as I started going back through with revelation of the Holy Spirit started revealing and showing things to me. And then I'll go back and look at it again, and he reveals something else. And he takes you from glory to glory. It's not our glory, it's his glory. In other words, and the more Christ in you, the more glory that's reflected. In other words, that Jesus said we're being transformed into his image. That picture, there was a picture on your bulletin in the front. It has a little girl looking in the water, and the reflection is Jesus. You know, what Jesus is people seeing in you and I? Are we detecting what we're reflecting? You know, I love that statement. It's what would Jesus do? If I'm being perfected and I'm being and becoming the image of Jesus Christ, amen, I'm taking on his glory. Amen. I have to ask myself, in every situation and circumstance, Jesus, what would you do in this situation? How would you handle this? What would your response be? How would you react to this? In other words, if we would just take a moment and reflect on his glory and allow the glory of God to be revealed, how would Jesus treat those that have treated you wrong? How would Jesus react to the children? Some people say, you know, when the kids are running and jumping around, I just see Jesus in the midst of that. I love it when the kids have children have freedom. Amen. I love it when the body of Christ has freedom. God has given us all the freedom we need. Amen. Reflection. Reflecting his glory. Amen. Now, remember, we're talking about now faith. Now faith. Faith that's being activated now. Faith that's being activated now. Now faith. Now faith reflects the glory of God. Amen. According to what? According to Pastor Carl, or according to God's word? Are we not a work in progress? Amen. We're walking towards him. I believe that Enoch walked with God, and he got so close to God, he just kept on going. He walked with God and was not. Amen. I believe that there's so many places and situations where the body of Christ can come into that circumstance and that situation, and the glory of God comes into the room. Let me tell you something. When the glory of God comes into the room, things change. The atmosphere changes. You know, I said, you ever walked into the room and said, well, why did everybody stop talking? Because the glory of the Lord came in the room. We're a reflection of his glory. Amen? We're a reflection of his word. You know? So as we're looking at that, not only does it reflect, now faith reflect his glory, it reflects his goodness. Turn with me in Romans 8. Everything that we're studying and everything that we're preaching and teaching on is heading in a direction. We're just not aimlessly going, okay? We're going with purpose, amen? Romans 8:28, that's familiar. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I'm going to stop there a second. He says all things work together for good. Didn't say they all would feel good, that they all would be good. But he said, hey, you may be going through something, but all things work together for the good. For who? To them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Remember, you haven't chosen him, but he's chosen you. You know, right? Are you with me? What does he say in verse 29? For whom he did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? So we are the called, according to his purpose, that we're to reflect the goodness of God. Because all things are working together for the good. To them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Right? For I know the thoughts and our plans I think for you, towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts for good and not for evil. To give you a hope and an expected end, according to Jeremiah. So turn with me a couple pages where the Apostle Paul's still talking and Roman, and Romans 11, 22. There's two sides here. He's speaking here about the natural branch and the unnatural branch. The natural branch being the Jews, that branch was broken off so you and I could be grafted in. We're the unnatural branch. But in verse 22, he says, behold the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. In other words, it's not just about being grafted in. It's about continuing. It's about seeking the sustaining life of the root. He is the root. He is the source of life. Amen? In other words, we can't be a branch disconnected. If you break a branch off of a tree and let that branch just stay there, it's not going to produce anything. It's going to die. In other words, we constantly stay connected to the source. God is our source. And as children of God being connected to him, we're a reflection of his goodness. Whether it's the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, goodness, temperance, and faith. Goodness is a fruit, is goodness of God being flowing through our lives is a fruit of the Spirit. He says in Romans 15, 13, he says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. In other words, the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians that all Scripture, 2 Timothy, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In other words, we're just teaching God's Word. Amen? We're to reflect His goodness. We're to reflect His glory. We're to reflect His goodness. Amen? You know, I think that we ought to be a bunch of do-gooders. Hello? This season, I'll show you. We're praying that in the spring we get the basement done. Next Thanksgiving, we'll be feeding the poor. Amen? We'll be serving Thanksgiving dinner to the poor downstairs. You know, when Sister Ethel Wilfong donated this property to the church, one of the things was that we would have a kitchen to feed the poor. It was going to be called Ethel's Kitchen. And when that's called, it's going to be called Ethel's Kitchen down there. And the fellowship hall is called Buddy's Fellowship Hall. Amen? Because Buddy was all about fellowship and Ethel was all about cooking. Amen? And we're going to honor them because the seed that was sowed, and that's what's going to be done. We're going to feed some poor. Amen? Amen? We're going to be a bunch of do-gooders. Amen? Hey, let me tell you something. The Bible says this, just the Word of God. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Right? What did Jesus say? He said in Matthew 25, he used a parable of the goats and the sheep. He said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to see me. He said, Lord, when did we do these things to you? And they said, when you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God's hand extended. The extended hands isn't just the gospel. It's God's hands extended to the world. He's got the whole world.
He's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got you and me. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands.
And whose hands are the hands of God? Let me see the hands of God. Anybody got one? Amen. We're just vessels for his glory. Let me say, when we're reflecting the glory, we're reflecting his glory. When we're reflecting his goodness, we're reflecting his goodness. Amen. It's the fruit of the Spirit being evident in my life, manifested out to others in the fruit. They're not leaving because of the word, they're leaving because they got to go. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
It's not only a reflection of the glory, a reflection of his goodness, it's also a reflection of his grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9, the Apostle Paul says, Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Amen. In other words, it's also now faith is the substance or confidence of things hoped for, his goodness, or that things not seen, is grace. It's the grace of God. Faith is the substance of things that we're hoping for, not what we're seeing. Amen? Why are you saying this? Because it's going to take faith not to move God, because God's already moved. It's going to take faith to move us into what God has already said. In other words, what I'm doing is I'm acting upon the word. Amen? You know what now faith does? You know what now faith does? Now faith sings when you're in the midst of prison. Like in Acts 16:25. The Bible says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Amen? Now let me tell you something. They're whipped. They're shackled. They're in the middle of the prison. And they're praising and singing praises unto God. And in the midst of that, do you think they really felt like praising God? I think they did, because then sings my soul.
My Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Could you imagine Paul and Silas? I don't know what song they sang. It doesn't say. But here they are singing, "Then sings my soul, how great thou art." And all of a sudden, the place was shaken. Their bands were loosed. The prison doors were open. Amen? There's something about when the glory of the Lord fills the place. Amen? And God wants to shake the very foundation. He wants to loose some things that are held on. He wants to open up some doors that kept you bound. Amen? This is what God wants to do. And it's done in the midst. Now faith praises in the midst of tribulation. Because it glories in tribulation, according to Romans 5. Paul said, "And also I glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given us." Amen. In other words, that means that now faith glories in the midst of tribulation. Amen. In other words, if you're going through something, there's something coming your way. I heard something by T.D. Jakes the other day. It was awesome. He was talking about promotion. He says, God's getting ready. Whenever God's getting ready to promote you, and you're going through a trial or a tribulation or a storm, everybody wants to throw in the towel. That's when we need to stand strong. That's when we need to hold fast. That's when we say, "Oh, God, lead day. God's getting ready to give me a promotion." You've been praying for it. God's bringing it. But what came before it was adversity. Amen. And you've got to see past that adversity to God's promise. And all the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. So as you're looking at that, hey. Wow. Now faith. Are we here? Can we get excited about Jesus? I always get excited about it. I guess I get to stand up here and run my jaws. Amen. Now faith does this. Now faith sometimes chooses to suffer. Wait a minute. Now faith chooses to suffer? What are you saying? Well, turn me to Hebrews 11. Verse 25. Now faith choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. This is a chronicle of faith, Hebrews chapter 11. What is the writer showing? He's sharing with you. He's sharing how men of faith walk through and pass through the storms, how they persevere. It's written for our benefits, for us to learn from. Amen? He says, many of them chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. That says to me that sin is pleasurable. Hello? But instead of enjoying the pleasures of sin, they chose to suffer with the people of God. Amen? You know, as a witness, I want you to understand something. Come on now. As a witness, as a martyr, we are martyrs for Christ. The world doesn't like you if you're a true man of God. If you're a true woman of God, the world doesn't like you. Matter of fact, the devil hates you. Amen? But God loves you. And God has given us everything to be successful and to be victors and to be conquerors. We've got it all. And all God is saying today, this now faith that we walk in, when we walk in a room, it reflects His glory. When we minister, it reflects His goodness. When we talk to people, it reflects His grace. Amen? We're a reflection of God. We're a reflection of His love. Amen? We're a reflection of God's love to a lost and dying world that needs Jesus. You know what else? It's a reflection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to reflect the gospel. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 10, he said, how shall they call upon Him that they not believe? How shall they believe in Him that they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the mountains of the feet of them that publish the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But as Isaiah said, they have not all believed the gospel. They have not all believed our report. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, you can't believe in God without the word. You can't believe in the word without God. It's taking both of these together. They're all working together for the same, for the glory of God. Amen. I shared with them this morning, man. I scan, read men's books. In other words, I get an author of the book. I just finished this book with John Maxwell, How to Ask Great Questions. And when I read that book, I scanned that book. I sped read that book. I went to that book and I scanned it. But when I read the Bible, I study it. This is my main book. Not that God doesn't use man, but I'm not listening to what man has to say. I'm listening to what God has to say. This is the validity. This is the proof. God said, I'm not a man that I should lie. Amen. And I'm not calling men of God liars. Don't get me wrong. There's all kinds of books and there's all kinds of assets and there's all kinds of things. But I want you to understand something. When I read their books, I'm not studying their book. I'm studying His book. Amen. He said, I shall know the truth, and it's His truth that makes me free. Amen. And this book is written for you and I to grow in the grace of God. He wants you and I to be a reflection of Him in this world. Amen? Amen? So when we come in the room, we reflect His glory, His goodness, His grace. And guess what? When we reflect His glory and reflect His goodness and reflect His grace, they're open to receive the gospel. Amen? God didn't come to condemn the world. He didn't come to judge the world. He came to save it. Amen? And we're ministers of the gospel, of the love of God, and we have good news. In other words, I'm not going anywhere to tell somebody how bad they are. I'm here to tell them how good God is. Amen? Amen? Don't we have some good news? So in closing today, I guess it's just as simple as this. The question God poses to us today is, hey, do you detect what you reflect? Amen? Amen? The more we know him, the more we become like him. Amen? I knew something, you know, my children were raised in our household. And they hung around us so much, in many ways, they're just like us. Amen? You know, we take on the form of who we hang around with. I've seen children that weren't born in this family were born by other parents. But the parents that raised them, they took on the form of the parents that raised them. And they would come into a room and they say, your son looks just like you. And down to their side, they're thinking, well, how could they say that? He's not even my son. No. He's taken on your form because he spent time with you. And as we spend time with the Lord, we're transformed into his image. And one day, I just believe with all my heart, we're going to come in this room and it's going to be just like Jesus is here. Hello? There's not going to be a question of who's going to be sick. Who's going to be healed? Who's going to be restored? Who's going to be redeemed? Because he'll be in the room. We're being transformed into his image. By his spirit. By his spirit. The spirit of Christ is inside of you. And you know what the spirit is saying. You know what the spirit is revealing to us. Amen. Amen. You know, I was thinking about that bicycle. My little buzz bike. And in that buzz bike, first thing I did, man, we used to have these reflectors that you would put on the bike. We didn't have lights back then. We had reflectors. And when a headlight shot on the reflector, you could see the bike. I put reflectors on that thing, and that thing was shining. And that's what God's saying to you and I. We're like reflectors for the kingdom of God. You know, when light shines on the reflector shines off light. And as God's light, not ours, as God's light shines down on you and I, it's reflected to others. Amen? Don't you think it's time for this dark world that we live in that the church starts lighting this place up? Amen? Amen? Can we just all stand? Everybody's saved in the house. We don't have no visitors and just want to close. And hey, remember this. In other words, God didn't send anybody to you. I'm not preaching at you. I'm talking with you. Amen. How many could say with me,